Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORJ Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, king of the Peloton, and master of social distancing. The one and only Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
What's up, my man? Great to be with you here on this Throwback Thursday because, man, on social media, I've gotten some doozies when it comes to my Joe Exotic mullet, but I'll get into that. First of all, you mentioned social distancing, and we take it really serious. So there's an outlet for all golfers, what I'm leading into is that place I play a lot of golf, Cowboys Golf Club. Got to give a shout out to them. I mean, they've done a tremendous job through this whole pandemic, through this whole just finding a way to give people an opportunity, basically an outlet. Played golf yesterday and they do again, a tremendous job because I don't want to think people, that there's 100 people out there and you're in proximity and it's not safe, but actually you know, if you have five guys in your group, you have five carts. So it's nothing, and they introverted the holes to make it safe. So in front of us, playing in our group, which plays a lot at Cowboys Golf Club was Patrick Mahomes. Super Bowl MVP. And I've seen him quite a bit, RJ, at the Cowboys Golf Club. I mean, he plays a lot of golf, and he lives in Dallas. And so I've seen him several times. And so what I'm getting to is I'd really like to just give him props for being just a down-to-earth superstar. I mean, this guy's probably going to sign a $400 million contract, going to break the bank. And as I mentioned, Super Bowl MVP, MVP of the league. And a guy I was playing golf with, and look, I always like to respect people's privacy, right? You know, you don't want to be intrusive, and you want to respect, and especially if you're a member out there. But my buddy, I mean, he was starstruck, and he we're getting off number 12, and Patrick's passing by, and fortunately, I'm looking for my ball because I hit an errant shot, and so my buddy said, "Hey, Patrick, you mind? Can I get a picture? You know, my daughter went to Texas Tech," and he says, "Oh, yeah, no problem," and he took a photo. So that guy is such a down-to-earth dude. So I just like to thank him for just being just who he is. And, at a time where we're social distancing, RJ, took the time to take a photo. And I thought that was really cool that Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this, huge superstar would just say, "Hey, no problem, man. I'll take a picture with you."
That is really awesome. That's a cool story to kind of set us all up for a cool, fun, run into the weekend. Well, first of all, what's going on, man? You're looking for your ball? You an OB? I mean,
yes. I mean, it was funny. I was playing golf with a guy a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking, and he was telling me a story about he played in a pro-am with a PGA pro. And and there was another guy playing in a pro-am. There's two pro, amateurs and I guess three amateurs playing in a foursome with the pro. And the guy was like, just him and hollering about how, "Oh, that's a bad shot." And I just, every time he hit a bad shot, he just, his temperament was, his expectations were too high. So the pro said, "Look, dude, hey, I got some advice for you." I said, "You're not that good to get pissed off."
Yeah.
So I kind of come with that philosophy. As much as I play golf, if I hit an errant shot, yeah. But I play Army golf. I play right, left. So, but I actually played okay. The fact that we were actually out there, RJ, and actually playing golf during this whole ordeal was just amazing. And again, I think that we have to give credit to people that really, take in compliance and make things safe for us, sanitize everything, to actually be able to get outside and do something like that. I mean, I'm so grateful that we have an opportunity to do that.
Well, that's awesome. I'm really happy that you were able to get outside, to have some fun, you know, to be able to enjoy a little bit of an escape. I think I sent you, I posted on Instagram.
Right.
Yeah, I did get from my friends at Perfect Putting a new putting mat. So I've been kind of dialing it in and, you know, trying to, you know, up the short game. You know, that's where the battle's won and lost. You know what I mean? And
I
so
know that short game. Well, they say drive for show, putt for dough, buddy.
Now, I did see, by the way, for what it's worth, next week, it would have been the Masters, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to get to the football chat in a second. But in an effort to, you know, scratch that itch, ESPN is going to help people. If you did not know this, Tony, so starting next Wednesday, which would have been the par three contest, obviously, you know, if the Masters had been played, they will be replaying the 2018 Masters par three contest. And I believe that was the year that a different Tony Finau, who's a Cowboys fan, remember had the ankle roll.
Oh yeah, that was gruesome. Yeah. And then just snapped it back in place like it was no big deal.
And later on next Wednesday, this is April 8th, they will be replaying the 1986 Masters, the legendary "Yes, sir," Jack Nicklaus moment. And then in later on Wednesday night, they will replay the 2018 Masters. So that was the one I was at that Patrick Reed won. So I'm very excited to watch. Oh, sorry, that's a par three contest. But anyway, and then on Thursday, they will replay the 2012 Masters, so shout out to Bubba Watson. And then Thursday night, primetime television, Tiger's first win, the 97 Masters. So we got some fun stuff coming up, at least. You know, if you want to rewatch the Masters, ESPN's taking care of you. But yeah, so we have a couple of things to talk about. And I want to get to Alden Smith in a little bit, but I want to ask you, what were you doing, or what can you remember about 2015? Because that was the last year that Alden Smith played in the NFL.
Well, I went back after the Cowboys signed him. I remember he had just a tremendous year. He was in San Francisco at the time.
Well, so he had the four-year run, and then he had the 1 year in 2015 in Oakland. That's what I'm saying. Like, what were
you? Okay, okay. All right, so let's prior to that. Well, obviously, it was off the field issues that would, you know, took precedent to the greatness of the year that he had. I believe it was when he was in San Francisco. Was it 2014 or 2013? I mean, it's been that far back.
His heyday was those first 2 years, 2011 and 2012. He was
when he had 19 and a half sacks and,
yeah,
you know, it's phenomenal. And that's all we're talking about is what a tremendous edge rusher he was. But yeah, I think 2015 is when all hell broke loose in his life. I think he's going through an airport and gotten, I don't know if he was carrying a gun through the airport. I mean, I don't want to misconstrue anything or just, you know, not get my facts straight. But to answer your question, I think everyone knows more about the stuff that he did off the field that wasn't right than what he did on the field. It was really, really good in his heyday. So that would be the answer to your question, RJ.
It is, it's strange that the Cowboys felt that this was the move that made the most sense. Now, for what it's worth, Alden Smith's agent, Ron Slavin, spoke on ESPN Dallas on Thursday morning, and he had a couple things to say that I thought were interesting. He said, if he stays healthy and he stays right, there's no reason he can't be a double-digit sack guy again. See, like, this is all just kind of, you know, giving his clients some praise. Then he said he's 275 pounds, so 275, Tony, and his body fat is as low as it's been. Alden has been working out with Jay Glazer at Jay Glazer's facility, doing like all the MMA stuff and whatever. Obviously, you know, it is a little bit interesting, but for what it's worth, he did say there were 6 to 8 teams interested. That could just be Alden's agent trying to, you know, pump everything up a little bit, but I don't know. This is one of the more curious decisions the Cowboys have made in recent memory, but they clearly feel like it's the way to go. There's no denying that Jim Tomsula is a connection, who was his defensive line coach out in San Francisco. But you've been there. You've been on the defensive line. Can you return to the NFL after 5 years away? Like, forget all the off the field stuff. I mean, that just sounds so hard to do.
Yeah, I think that I really, and I think that's a good point by you, is I really don't think about, you know, the off the field issues, because it's been so long since he's been removed from the lead. And when I heard the name, I'm like, is that the same Alden Smith that used to play in 2015 that played for the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders? Is that the same guy? Because he's been removed so long. So you don't think about it. And you're like, okay, it's been 5 years since he's played. And you're thinking, you know, it's a great story. He's 30 years old. I think he's been, you know, he's really embraced his sobriety. I think the Cowboys have mentioned they have a program where they bring, recovering athletes into the program. And so it's a great, environment for them to be able to continue their career. But that's the cautionary tale there, is that when I look at that, I'm thinking, okay, you've been out. Yeah, you're in great shape. And, you know, you're 30 years old and you've been out of the league for 5 years. I mean, you're not just going to run up the field, right, and just run around people. I mean, there's going to be guys in front of you. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be big men that are trying to protect the blind side. So where's your skill set? And, you know, I don't want to compare it to Greg Hardy. I mean, let's face it, RJ, how many – we've seen this song and dance before with the Cowboys. I mean, there's a laundry list of guys, the Pac-Man Jones, the Tank Johnsons, the – Hardy's,
not to compare
any Gregory's,
right? Yeah. Not to compare anybody to anybody in terms of what they did. There's right. We're not comparing anything. However, I think your point is the Cowboys have tried to bargain hunt, and bargain's not even the right way to put it. They've tried to go, they've tried to shop on eBay, you know what I mean? Like, instead of, you know, going to whatever the department store is, you know what
well,
I mean?
You know, like, what's your risk? I mean, I think that's what they look at this. What's our risk? We're going to pay Alden Smith, for example, $2 million in salary with the incentives to reach 4 million.
Well, and there's no
what's our risk?
Money for Alden. Right.
So, I mean, what do we got to lose? And I think that the perception is the Cowboys. You know, we hear this all the time because Dallas has been a haven for that. And look, I mean, and I think it's great guys getting a second, you know, second chance, third chance, fourth chance. I mean, that's been the narrative in the National Football League. So I understand that. But I think it goes back to the Cowboys. Look, I mean, we're going to, you know, we'll get up to bat and we'll swing. And if we get a single or double or triple or a home run, look, we didn't spend a whole lot of money.
I mean, I agree. It just, you know, the first thing.
But how desperate are they? I mean, think about that. And look, and to your point, and I'm not trying to interject, and interrupt you, RJ. But you know, that's the thing I look at it is that I look at the Robert Quinns, and you know, I think, yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. He went and made $10-11 million in Chicago. They can't afford him. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. And then they already have Randy Gregory and then they have, you know, David Irving in the wing and look,
they've been clear that they don't want anything to do with David Irving at the very least here,
they disconnected with him, so to speak.
Right. But he was somebody that they did offer multiple chances to your point, which kind of fits in all this. It's just the way I feel about it, because at the very least, you're right. There's no real risk. It's a lottery ticket, so on and so forth. I would understand this if they had been spending big elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if, and this is the point I originally made. I don't know if you saw the Kansas City Chiefs literally have, you mentioned seeing Pat Mahomes. They literally have like $177 in cap space. Like, and I don't mean $177 million, like literally $177.
Wow. Where'd you get that at? That's amazing.
So
they couldn't round it off to 180.
Yeah, I guess not. But like, so my point is, if the Cowboys were that up against the wall, right? Like they, and you know, if they truly had no financial flexibility and they were just thinking, man, what can we do? You know, we don't have a lot of options. You know what I mean? Like, let's figure something out. Okay, let's try Alden Smith. That would make some sense to me. However, they do have more than enough cap space right now to justify, call it whoever you want, an Everson Griffin. I mean, even if you want to get crazy and say a Jadeveon Clowney, whatever, they do have the financial room to do that. So I don't understand doing this when there are other options that not only make more sense, but that are actually other options. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think when they brought Michael Bennett in last year, I mean, he gave him some added push, gave him, you know, revitalized the inside and just gave him options. And I think maybe they're just looking for options, you know, in depth in that defensive line. And so I look across the board and the roster and I'm thinking, okay, well, Alden Smith is, I mean, he's credible because, yeah, I mean, he's 5 years, he's been out of the league, but he must be in tremendous shape as Jake Lazor. You know, he's been working out at his facility. And I know a lot of guys go through that whole rigorous workout. And I think he's been a really inspiring to people actually coming in and working out. I'm pertaining to Alden Smith. So I think when you look at it this way, when you look and evaluate someone, one, you got to make sure they got the right state of mind, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, their character and everything. But then, secondly, you look at this physicality of him. It's like, dude, the dude's a beast. I mean, he's, as you mentioned, 275 pounds, and just, I mean, the dude is chiseled. And it's like, okay, well, maybe they're, you know, if his mind's right and he can get back to where half of that or just give a presence on the edge, I'll give him a chance. But, you know, that's the slippery slope there, because you really don't, really don't know that their guy's been out that long, 5 years. Now I'm thinking if I was in the National Football League, I mean, it's hard to miss 1 year with an injury. I mean, it's hard to miss 8 games, but to be out 5 years and be away from the game, man, that's tough. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to convince myself that, man, I can come back. Now, if a team's going to pay me $2 million, okay, give me a chance, I'm like, dude, hey, I'm there. You know, out 5 years, think about that.
Hey, guys, going to get back to the 750 in just a second. But before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Welcome back, everybody. Here is the 750.
I mean, there are this kind of stunned. It's very difficult to have a free agent signing that just absolutely stuns people, and this was one of them. But Alden Smith is a Cowboy, and so okay. On to
maybe our bigger subject today, Tony. So did you know, I mentioned a different Tony, Tony Finau, but with regards to Cowboys-related Tonys, did you know that Tony Romo's first start came against the Carolina Panthers in 2006?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I am aware of that.
Now, this game was airing on NBC Sports Network. It's, you know, in everything we're dealing with, all the TV networks and sports leagues have done a great job at offering up old games and stuff to rewatch. And so NBC Sports Network replayed that game, 2006, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys in Carolina. It was really cool. It was really cool to watch it and just kind of, you know, remember different things and see how, you know, literally see how they produced television, you know, for football, you know, 14 years ago. It was fun. I had a good time. Now, there were some people, Tony.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking 14 years ago, and I'm thinking about when I played. It's like definition. What is that? Anyway.
Watching this game, again, Tony Romo's first start, the first of many, and, you know, with the first page of a big time chapter in Dallas Cowboys history, a lot of people were feeling emotional, right? A lot of people, you know, were feeling nostalgic, and a lot of people rewatching and just kind of appreciating what Tony Romo was. He was this young guy, really charming and you know, debonair, and had a smile that just kind of captivated you. And again, emotions were running high. So this caused people, Tony, to reflect so hard that they then, the day after, which was Wednesday, began to kind of, you know, this is Twitter and this is sports radio and everything, people saying, who would you rather have in their prime, Tony Romo or Troy Aikman? Now, before you answer, because I have a feeling that I'm about to, like, you know, open the door and the bull is going to run out. You know what I mean?
Light me up.
let me say this.
We're about to get lit.
Right. Let me say this. I am a millennial. Okay. I'm a proud millennial. I'm 30 years old. And mm-hmm. So I obviously, you know, my football intelligence was not at its, you know, highest level when you guys and Troy were operating at the peak of your powers. I can fully understand it. And I have said before that in terms of my lifetime, Tony Romo is my favorite athlete that I've ever watched the whole career of. You know, I really, you know, I was at a really impressionable and formative age when he was kind of first starting. And so it was really fun to watch and enjoy him, you know, while I was graduating high school and things like that. But that being said, it is absolutely ridiculous. And I got into an argument with a lot of people on Twitter. We got into it on the Blog on the Boys Twitter account. It is preposterous to suggest that Tony Romo, who was a very good quarterback, is anywhere near the level of Troy Aikman. I give you the floor.
I agreed. And that would be like, and maybe this is probably a little bit more exaggerating, but it'd be like comparing Michael Jordan, who's better, Michael Jordan or Charles Barkley, all right? And I mean, I don't care what era you played in, or you're for millennial, or you grew up in my generation. You know, Troy Aikman is a generalizational quarterback when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he just carries on and he, you know, he outlives obviously his prime, and not his prime, but when he played, I think people associate Troy Aikman as being one of the greatest quarterbacks that's ever played for the Dallas Cowboys. And I was on the same thread. I read the tweet, and I believe it was started by
105.3 The Fan. Yeah, 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys.
Excuse me. Yeah, 103.3 is ESPN here. But so I read that, and I'm like, yeah, and that's just, it's also asking the same question: is Roger Staubach, who in the prime, is Roger Staubach, or who's better, him or Danny White? So. I think that I don't, and maybe it's we're just getting fatigued because we're watching a lot of, as you mentioned, games that were played because we have no, you know, sports right now to watch. But to throw that comparison out there again is just ridiculous. I mean, there is no, you know, merit to the comparison because you can't validate why Tony Romo would be better quarterback in his prime. I mean, that's just as you mentioned, it's just a great, I mean, it's
ridiculous.
It's a stupid comparison.
It's unfortunate because it causes people like you and I to argue against Tony Romo, who was very good. Again, I don't enjoy, you know, talking about how this is ridiculous because, you know, I really enjoyed the career of Tony Romo. So, again, I don't at all subscribe to this, but these are the two things that people rely on the most when they make the Romo over Aikman argument. Okay, so the first is that people believe, and I think there's a little bit of merit to this. People say that Romo was more athletic. You know, he could certainly move around a little bit more. People kind of regard Troy as this, you know, more sort of prototypical pocket passer. So they kind of hold that against her. They say, well, Romo could do this. He could do that. But I think a lot of that is the game is so different. You know, like, it's just like quarterbacks evolved. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't necessary when you guys play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I agree with you on the athleticism. I mean, there's more sensational plays that Tony Romo's made in his career that we've watched and we've admired.
Yeah, he has.
He's an improviser. I mean, it was totally different, and he had to. And I'll give him that. The excitement value, yeah, I think he's more dynamic in that area. But
he was ultimately more exciting. That's a great way to put it. He was,
right,
he was
more exotic. Flavorful. Yeah, I mean, he's more exotic to watch, and, you know, without a doubt. And I think Troy Aikman would be the first one to tell you that, you know, Tony Romo is more athletic than I ever thought about being. Troy didn't have to really see that because it was a different system. But the argument that you have with Tony Romo being better than Troy Aikman in his prime is Troy didn't make the mistakes. Troy, you know, and here's the thing also, RJ, is when I started thinking about this because people think, well, you know, it was a different era. You know, the Cowboys and Troy Aikman's, they had a running game. Well, you know what? When I look at Tony Romo, I mean, you know, he had DeMarco Murray. I mean, they've had some pretty good runners on that. I mean, it wasn't obviously balanced like our era was. So there were some different circumstances, but the bottom line is that people are measured on postseason. They're measured on, you know, the accomplishments when it comes to winning championships. I think it's a different system because Troy didn't throw as much as Tony Romo.
Well, because he didn't have to.
Right.
It's
hard to compare that because of just the totally different climate and totally different generation of offenses.
That's the other thing that people tend to lean on in this argument is they say, well, if you put Romo on those 90s teams, he would have done just as well as Troy. First of all, that's absurd. Like, I don't know that you can say that about anybody. Like, I don't know that you can even say, and I don't mean this as literal as it sounds, but I don't know that you can say, oh, if you put Tom Brady as y'all's quarterback, that you would have had the same success. You just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you have no idea, you know, how things would have worked out. The perfect quarterback for you guys was Troy, but people treat the fact that Troy was surrounded by all you guys and all this great talent as some sort of, you know, like the argument then becomes that, and this is out there. Again, I don't believe this, so don't go off on me. People truly believe that Troy is overrated in hindsight and that by a team.
Yeah, and I really get defensive whenever, again, when some people, you know, make that analogy of Troy. You know, obviously I had a relationship with him. I played with him. I was on those teams. And without Troy Aikman, those rings would not have been won. And it's just really ridiculous. Also, when you think about this, RJ, how many times whenever, especially Dallas, when they talk about their offensive line, well, hell, their offensive line is so good. I could rush for 1,500 yards. Put me back there. How many times you hear that? That's the same. And it's like Emmitt Smith. I mean, if Emmitt back, you know, that offensive line, the wall was tremendous. But you just couldn't put any pedestrian running back there and expect them to put up the numbers and be the runner that Emmitt was.
You guys learned that. You learned that lesson the hard way. Yeah, you learned that lesson in 93 that you couldn't just put anybody back there.
Yeah.
I do think that it's worth the offensive line thing because so people love to say, and again, this is crazy, but they love to say, well, Tony never had great offensive line like Troy did. And they say, like, he did, you know, what the Cowboys currently have, but it was late in his career. You know, he didn't have that for a long time. But people forget, you know, talking about that 2006 game against Carolina, that 06 to 08 Cowboys offensive line was unreal. They had Flozell Adams. They had Kyle Kozar. Andre Garod, Leonard Davis, and I mean, Doug Free was kind of coming on later, you know, after all that. But I mean, they were solid. I mean, you know, people also love to say, well, Tony didn't have the offensive weapons that, you know, Troy had. Troy had Irvin. Dude, Tony, people forget this. Also, now I'm talking to you, Tony. He had T.O. When he first joined the Cowboys, Hall of Famer. He had Jason Witten, who will one day be a Hall of Famer. Dez Bryant, the touchdown machine, but people love to say, oh, he had nobody. He didn't have. Now, the one thing I will say that you know, Troy certainly had in a hardcore advantage, and this is no disrespect to one of your teammates there. Troy had Jimmy, and Tony had for the most part Jason Garrett. And
that's
there's
a great
no comparison.
Point. Yeah, think about the coaching, and think about the coordinators and just the cast of people around him. I mean, we had a great defense. I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to consider, but ultimately it comes down to the guy that's going to pull the trigger, and that's your quarterback. And look, I think that Troy Aikman, and I'm being biased, but Troy Aikman had his leadership skills were head and shoulders above Tony Romo. And I'm not trying to, you know, maybe that's me looking through my, my Troy Aikman glasses, right? But, sure. But I've been around him, and I've talked to people about Tony Romo, and it's totally different, you know, quarterbacks. And I think that would be the biggest difference if you took Troy Aikman and you put him in today's, you know, generation of quarterbacks on the Dallas Cowboys, and you compared him to other people, other quarterbacks, Romo included. Maybe, you know, Dak is, you know, he seems to me he's on his way and he's got leadership skills. But that would be the biggest character trait that I would think that all these players would say, man, I tell you what, it's Troy Aikman, man. He's quite the leader. Well, I mean, I think that's what people don't take in consideration, the little intangible things, RJ. Right. And maybe that's not really an intangible thing. You got to be a great leader to be a great quarterback. But that's what Troy possessed and made him better than other quarterbacks.
I think, and you've always spoken very highly of Troy on our show, and I think it says a lot. And you guys obviously have the Oklahoma connection and everything, but I mean, you know, you weren't on offense. You know what I mean? Like, it says an incredible amount that, you know, all these defensive players and all these other players, you know, you just said right now that, like, that's the reason, he's the reason I've got these two rings. You know what I mean? Like, and that creates, you know, a bond that is obviously very special. But we did have some people in the Twitter discussion that were, you know, like you and I, that certainly believe that Troy is the superior quarterback here. And there was a point that somebody brought up, and if it was you and you're a listener, I'm sorry, it was a heavy argument. There was a lot going on, but apologies. But shout out to the person who brought this up. To the leadership point, Tony, they said the biggest difference between Troy and Tony was that there is no way that the 90s Cowboys would have let a rookie quarterback stay in place for an injured Troy Aikman. Like the point being, if y'all were in the middle of whatever was going on, Troy got hurt, and then a rookie came in and had some success. I mean, the person talking here, their point is that there's no way you would have stood for the rookie staying, that you guys would have staged a mutiny and you would have said, like, hell, we're going to let this guy take Troy's job. Would you agree with that?
Man, the loyalty there. I mean, I go back to, was it 91? This is going way back, whenever Troy got injured. And I think that, you know, when Troy got injured and he was ready to come back and play in the, I believe it was a divisional
yeah, against,
game,
against
a playoff
the Lions.
Game, get the Lions, we got our asses kicked. The week before, Steve Beuerlein played good against the Chicago Bears. We won that game.
Right.
So I think there was some I don't know, discrepancy between Jimmy and Troy, because Troy felt like he was ready to go back, but, you know, Jimmy just felt like that he was gonna go with a hot hand. So I don't think if Troy would have been ready, everyone would have supported Troy. But I mean, it would be totally different though when you have and maybe you're referring to obviously Romo and Dak Prescott, right?
Right.
So, but you got to remember that Tony Romo was in the twilight of his career, okay?
Yeah.
Troy was I think it'd be kind of hard to compare
later
that.
Stages, yeah, you're right. It's not apples to apples.
Right.
And so the person I think is just saying, you know, maybe you would have had a harder time. You know what I mean? Just accepting
maybe that's how committed we were to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think.
Go ahead.
No, I said I think that's a great point. I think people think we're, you know, people are committed to their guy. And how many times we talked about, you know, there being a divided locker room because they didn't. Some guys wanted one guy, and the other guys wanted the other guy, the other half. So, I mean, but I think it's very hard to make that point, and I really kind of disagree with that because of the circumstances. And I think that I will give that to more of just the movement of moving on because Dak Prescott was a rookie, and Romo was, again, he was battered. He could barely, you know, stay upright because of his back, because of everything else going on with him. And so I think the Cowboys really didn't have a choice but to move on because of what Dak Prescott did.
Hey guys, we'll be back on the 750 in just a moment. But before we are, a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hey guys, welcome back. Let's finish strong. Here is the 750. Now that's fair. Whenever you talk about this, the pro Romo crowd, they always bring up one story, and it's a story that ESPN.com wrote now 8 years ago. So this is a hardcore throwback Thursday. Tim McMahon wrote this for ESPN. At the time, this was in 2012. I don't know if Troy is still involved in Wingstop. Maybe you know that better than I, but there was a good run there where Troy was heavily involved with Wingstop. And by the way, just completely off topic, I think that Wingstop's still doing free delivery right now. So if you're feeling some wings, you know, just throwing that out.
They have good wings, but man, I tell you what, they had the best truffle. I think they truffle French fries.
No, you know what? They're regular fries, but I know what this. I know what you're talking about.
They taste like the truffle one.
Well, they put sugar on them, dude. They put sugar.
Okay, well, whatever it is, man. I'll tell you what, I love the French fries.
Anyway, so Troy was in South Texas doing a Wingstop kind of PR tour, and he told the Brownsville Herald, my hometown paper. All right, he told the Brownsville Herald, I think Tony already is a better quarterback than I was. I know how quarterbacks are judged, but as far as his playmaking ability and the things that he is capable of doing, he is far more athletic, capable of making more plays than I ever was able to. And so whenever you talk about who's better, the Romo heads, they throw this out and say, well, Troy said Romo's better. Dude, yeah, Troy said that Romo was more athletic. Nobody's denying that, but that's the one sort of place that you would rather have Romo. But even then, I would rather have Troy Aikman 100 out of 100 times over Tony Romo. There's not a
situation. I don't know if that's
situation.
A little condescending, or I don't know if he's just. I think that, you know, Troy is so he's so secure in his own skin that, you know, he really. I mean, everyone's going to make a, you know, debate who's the best quarterback of all time, who's the greatest Dallas Cowboy quarterback of all time, and you know, I also said this analogy. It'd be like an analogy of. Saying, and I said it earlier. I mean, if you're gonna go that far, why don't you just put up the debate? And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 30 years old like yourself or 55, like myself. If you start comparing generations, let's compare the generation of Roger Staubach with Danny White, because a lot of people, when Danny White was, you know, thought Danny White, again, depends on what part of the career, but that's how stupid it is to make that comparison to Romo and Aikman.
Well, there are, you know, there are teams that you can do this for, right? Like, or even different positions. Like if you want to have the debate, I don't think this is a debate, but if you want to say who's the better Cowboys running back, Emmitt Smith or Tony Dorsett, that is at the very least a debate. Who's better, Michael Irvin or Bob Hayes? Again, that is at the very least a debate. You know, if Packers fans want to debate who's the better Packers quarterback, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, that is, again, at the very least a debate. But
well, let me ask you this, RJ. Who's the better quarterback, Staubach or Aikman?
No offense to your boy, but it's Mr. Staubach. Mr. Staubach's the greatest cowboy of all time, in my humble opinion.
Okay. But, I mean, do you think a lot of people that didn't grow up, they're in a generation of Troy Aikman, would be the same question? I mean, I think you'd have a better debate, wouldn't you?
Yeah, certainly.
Staubach and Aikman, but Aikman and Romo, I mean, it's not even close.
Well, and that's why, like if you know, this isn't meant to turn into Staubach versus Aikman, but like the point we raised, that the one sort of pro that Romo has is his athleticism. Roger had everything.
Roger the Dodger.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Roger had all, call it whatever you want, leadership, clutch, you know, everything that Troy had. Roger had all of that plus the insane athleticism. You know what I mean? So Roger's just kind of the dream package, you know. But, I mean, I can't speak for Troy, certainly. But I think if it were me, I would be okay being second place to Roger Staubach. But Troy, again, the idea that he and Romo are at all comparable is kind of ridiculous to me. And you know, I think – and this is, I think, a way to wrap this up. I think what this is there are so many people now that are just ridiculously pro-Romo. And I said it when we started this conversation, Tony Romo is my favorite athlete that I've ever watched the entire career of in my lifetime. But I think that people romanticize what his career was. He was a really good quarterback. That's true. But that doesn't mean he was better than he was. You know, people love to ask, is Tony Romo a Hall of Famer? No, he's not. Unfortunately, he's not. I mean, as great as he was, it's not the Hall of Really Good. It's the Hall of Fame. And I think that people feel guilty about the fact that they didn't appreciate Romo while he was playing. And so now they try to drum up all this stuff to make themselves feel better because they're driven by guilt.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, it seems to me that I remember there was more hate for Romo than there was like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I think all those people that hated him then now feel bad about it. So now they're.
Well, I don't know about that. I think maybe it might be his popularity as a broadcaster that's really kind of reignited.
That probably helps. Yeah, definitely.
I think that maybe that's really helped his, I guess, the resurrection of some light for him. Because I don't know. I remember in his career, I mean, he used to get beat up about, social media, how much blame he got, how bad he was a quarterback.
For now, playing golf?
Yeah. Going to Cabo San Lucas with Jessica Simpson. I mean, he got this blaze, man. And I think really this new love for Romo is because it just his emergence is a tremendous broadcaster. People like that. So now all of a sudden they kind of roll that into the whole like Romo love because of just what he's doing now. And yeah, he was a good quarterback. I mean, he had some good years, but nothing even comes close to the great number eight.
I wrote something kind of about this now 4 years ago for ESPNSA.com. And so have you ever been to a restaurant and just had like the most incredible meal and then maybe like never really gone back or maybe only gone back like one time after? Like that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. A couple of times. So, a few times.
There was this steakhouse I went to with some people in Houston. It was actually a few months after I wrote this article I'm talking about. And I just had the most unbelievable piece of meat that I've ever had in my life. And you mentioned truffle a while ago. I had this like mac and cheese truffle. Oh, and I don't remember the beer I had that went with it, but it was one of the only times in my life that like the alcoholic beverage I had paired with the food, you know, like it made the food
glass
better.
Of wine with that, right. That steak. Mean, yeah.
And so like the whole meal was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And I've never been back to this restaurant since then, but I have to believe that if I went back even today or tomorrow or whatever, not that I would, cause I'm practicing social distancing, but it like the meal would not be anywhere near as good. Right. Like it was kind of this special thing in a vacuum that, you know, is an incredible memory and you kind of build it up in your mind. And so what I talked about in this article 4 years ago, the last time that we really saw Romo play was the 2014 season. And that was the incredible Cowboys year. That was the Dez caught it year and everything. And that was Tony Romo operating at the absolute height of his powers. That was the greatest version of him that we ever saw. And then he came out in 2015, game one. He had the great comeback sort of very late in the game on Sunday Night Football where he dumped it off to Lance Dunbar and threw the game-winning touchdown to beat the Giants. Week two, he gets hurt in Philadelphia, so he's gone. Then he comes back on the road against the Miami Dolphins after they'd lost all these games and kind of just, you know, rekindled everybody's spirits. And then on Thanksgiving Day, he's hurt and then he's gone forever because Dak Prescott shows up the following year. So my point here, the long way of getting here is that the it's not like people just remember Tony Romo. The last thing they remember is the greatest version of him. You know what I mean? So like when they think about him, they don't think about, you know, 2006 through 2013. They think about the 2014 Romo that was just dicing people up, the guy that maybe should have won MVP, a lot of people believe, over Aaron Rodgers that year. And so like that's the teddy bear they hug. You know what I mean? Like that particular version of him, which kind of creates these false narratives in retrospect.
Yeah, and my whole, you know, my picture of what I always picture and the greatness of, I don't care what era it is, whether it's, you know, this generation, my generation, you know, the players I play with, there's a vivid moment. And I think about, regardless if it's Tom Brady, regardless if it's Peyton Manning, regardless if it's Troy Aikman, we've all watched them play. I mean, maybe not to the degree of actually, you know, old enough to remember that, but we've seen enough of that. And I've seen more the celebration when you talk about Troy, when you talk about Peyton Manning, when you talk about Tom Brady. I mean, I'm talking about the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game. But when I picture, for some reason, I picture, and no disrespect to Tony Romo. I mean, he was a tremendous quarterback. I mean, he was good, but not great in my eye. I mean, I think that I have a different way of assessing, you know, what I think greatness is in a quarterback. He wasn't consistent enough in my eye. Mm-hmm. I picture him seeing this dejected guy all the time, having his head down and just making a play that either cost him the game or didn't do enough for his team because he had to, that really just kind of sets in my mind. And maybe I'm not being fair. Maybe I'm being biased because of the tremendous quarterback I play with and just guys I've seen play the game. That maybe that's what I think of Tony Romo, because I've seen him play. I mean, we covered him all through his career. I mean, we've seen really just really bad quarterbacks go through the Dallas Cowboys organization. You right?
Tony Romo is objectively one of the most underrated players in NFL history. That is true. That does not mean that he was better than Troy Aikman.
Great story, man. Undrafted free agent. I mean, tremendous story, getting his break, but, you know, people, and I'm sorry if you're, you know, pro Romo or, you know, I just totally disagree with even it's kind of asinine to think that you think Troy Aikman is not as good as Tony Romo in Tony Romo's prime. I mean, it's not even an argument.
Well, shout out to Troy. shout out to Troy, number 8, Ocho, appropriately. Wingstop dude. Troy's got his hands in a lot of cookie jars. I mean, so.
Man, I've been eating bad too, though. I started talking about the Wingstop, and I thought about it. I did not know they put sugar on their fries.
Yeah.
But the salt on that, I don't know what salt they put. Man, I'll tell you what, brother. That and ranch sauce, making me hungry.
Are you, when you eat wings, are you a ranch or a blue cheese guy?
Ranch all the way, man. I put ranch on everything.
Oh, dude. I completely agree.
I put ranch on my steak before I put ketchup. if I ever did something stupid like that.
Yeah, I would never do that like your boy Pat Mahomes. last thing on that, what kind of clubs is he playing?
You know, I didn't get that close to him. I mean, it was pretty close, but I mean, the social distancing, I really don't know. But as I mentioned off the top of our podcast, I see him out there quite a bit. And I don't know what kind of golfer he is, but all I know is a down to earth dude. I'm sure he's got some pretty good clubs. I mean, I figured right now it's good to be Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. That's fair to say. Okay, Tony. Well, we'll be back next Tuesday. Any big weekend plans before we sign off? You going to watch any particular movies or, you know, something? I mean, what's going on in the Casillas household?
Man, I finished Ozark. I don't know if you're into that, but that's all I'm going to say is wow on season 3.
Okay.
I'm going to go up to Norman tomorrow to move my son out of his dorm because they've allowed them to get in there and move their stuff out. So I'm going to take him down. And I don't know. Maybe I'll give him a lesson in cornhole. I'm pretty good at that. So we'll find something to do out in the backyard.
You posted a photo of your cornhole boards. They're Sooner boards, are they not?
Yeah, they are. But you know what? No one showed up. Finally, I called my family out and my son showed up, and you know, I have beginner's luck, but yeah, we have a lot of that stuff around here. We're sooner born, sooner bred. And when we die, we're sooner dead. We're all clumber, all clumber, all clumber. Okay.
What you got to get next, Tony, is you got to get one of those like floating golf greens for your pool and just practice chipping in there. You know what I mean? Like with the floating balls, the foam ones or whatever. You got to do that.
I had one of those, but for some reason I lost all the balls and I think the floating green got caught in a skimmer basket, but yeah, I mean, hey, I know one thing. When we finally play golf, you should be a hell of a putter because you have plenty of time to practice, man. No excuses.
It's got markings for all the even numbers, like 2 feet, 4 feet, 6 feet, whatever. I'm going to sink 8 putts from the 8-foot mark for Troy Aikman. Tony, have a great weekend,
man.
Everybody else, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. This was the 750.